Happy to check in with our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. We picked an auspicious day to come back here in the world of sports media. What in the world is going on at the New York Times, the LA Times?
Yeah, it's grim. I just actually about 30 seconds ago filed my column on the Times cutting its sports department. I think the reporters there, their instinct about what was going to happen to them was pretty sharp. Once the Times bought The Athletic for $550 million last year, there was some redundancy in their department or in sports coverage in general. And the Times management has always kind of looked down on sports as something they sort of had to suffer rather than something that was a priority at the newspaper. So when you have The Athletic and you're basically buying that to get their subscribers, they have 3 million subscribers, and you can inflate the Times number by adding them to your bundle of puzzles and games and other things that people subscribe for. It overlapped a lot with what the Times sports department was doing. The Times wasn't covering beats anymore. It was primarily features and national stories. And so those two things sort of collided. And I think a lot of reporters there, they sent a letter to management yesterday, the 40 or so sports staffers, and said, what's going on here? And this morning they found out.
Man, oh man. And now I'm reading the LA Times is not going to carry game stories, box scores, or standings anymore.
Yeah, those 3 p.m. deadlines. Ours are 7 o'clock at the Globe. So up here in Maine, we get the first edition, which usually doesn't have the score, but big games when there's a playoff game or a World Series game. Not that there's been one of those for a few years, or that sort of thing. We'll wait and make sure we get those in. The Times in L.A., not New York, the L.A. Times is even getting rid of that pretense and isn't putting any game coverage, scores, TV listings, anything in the radio. They're shifting anything in the newspaper. They're shifting it all to the web. And I don't know what that means for print, whether it's going to have features. And it's a gorgeous newspaper, great designers. Always loved the Times. One of their main editors actually is somebody who spends a lot of time up here in York, Chris Stone. He used to write for Sports Illustrated and was the editor there. It's a terrific newspaper, and it's a bummer to see this happen because they did some exceptional work, and now it's basically going to be an online entity.
So what does this mean for sports publishing?
Sports publishing or newspaper?
Well, newspapers, but those of many people who turn to newspapers and have turned to them forever to get sports.
Yeah, I mean, what the Times, LA Times is doing isn't necessarily crazy. What the New York Times is, I think, is a major mistake. They don't cover beats in New York. It blows my mind. I wrote this in my column. The New York Times does not cover the New York Yankees on a daily basis. That's crazy to me. And they have the resources to do it, the money to do it, and they don't. They don't do it for the other, more than 8 pro teams in the area. You count the Liberty, but you've got a couple pro soccer teams, you get 2 NBA teams, 3 NHL teams, count the Islanders, on and on. They don't cover them as beats. That's not what the LA Times is doing. They're just shifting it all to the web and becoming an online product. And if there are a few newspapers that have succeeded that way. The Washington Post really has done well. It's a national newspaper, the Globe. Some of the data on Globe profits came out recently in a Boston Business Journal story, and the online product here has been a great success, which makes me exhale a little bit. Some have gone faster than others in just making that full commitment. I mean, look at the Press Herald. It doesn't print on Mondays. My local paper up in Bath doesn't print on Mondays. It's gradually getting to the point where maybe they'll only print on Sundays or isn't a print product at all anymore.
And I feel bad for the older folks. Well, heck, I'm one of them myself, but those even older than me, the people who grew up, I mean, as a kid, I'm sure you did the same thing. There was nothing better than spreading out that newspaper on the kitchen table while you're munching on your Pop-Tart and checking out the box score to see how your favorite guys did.
Yeah, yeah, heck, I mean, that's the acknowledgments in the Red Sox, but the Globe Story of the Red Sox book that I put out, where talking about open up the paper, you know, 10 years old, reading Peter Gammons and Lee Montfill and Bob Ryan. You can still do that online. Some writers have really adjusted well to that. I think Shaughnessy has actually adjusted really well. They file his columns really early in the morning so that they hit the noon crowd, and really has a good grasp for his traffic. And, you know, a lot of reporters who were newspaper first and think of those golden days when classified advertising money was pouring in the windows. You could go and cover anything, anywhere, anytime. They get a little nostalgic about that, but some haven't. Dan hasn't. Bob Ryan hasn't. And you can certainly build a really fulfilling career as a writer that way, writing primarily for the web rather than thinking about print all the time. But what's lost when you don't have print is you read things in the newspaper you don't read online. Online, you go seek out what you want. You go look right for it. You're not going to maybe turn to the art section and read about a movie you never would have thought of, or a TV show or something like that, or see something on the metro section that you're not going to look at online. And I think that's lost from sort of where newspapers are these days.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Back onto the field tonight, Home Run Derby. And you wrote about it. I read it in the print edition yesterday, that you have always been a fan of the Home Run Derby. What am I missing? Because it's just never grabbed me.
Well, you're missing that I desperately needed a Sunday column more than anything else. And something else fell through Friday afternoon. Also, I really do like it. I mean, it just reminds me, I kind of touched on it there. I probably could elaborate a little more, but 99 at Fenway, which is one of my all-time favorite sports events. And it wasn't all the Home Run Derby. It was Pedro coming in and blowing away, striking out five guys and a bunch of them in the Hall of Fame. The whole scene with Ted Williams and all these great players surrounding him on the field, past and present legends, just incredible. But it was McGuire launching balls into orbit and Ken Griffey Jr. being Ken Griffey Jr., probably the most universally liked player of pretty much any era. So it was just such a great time. And when I see the Home Run Derby, I think about that, and it kind of brings me back to that. And I do like it, too. I mean, I just marvel at his ability to launch a baseball 450 feet at will.
Red Sox playing well going into the break, of won five straight, 8 out of 9. What does that mean? Should we believe in this team now and think that they are actually in this wild card race?
Well, as I've been saying all year, I think they're probably going to win their fifth championship of the millennium. Is that what this is? Century? I don't even know. It's not a decade. No, there's going to be ups and downs, and we just have to make sure we're kind of level headed about it, because right now, everybody's looking at 8 out of 9. Today, they're pretty good, and then they'll lose 4 in a row and sell everybody. You know, there's no middle ground, and really where they are is the middle ground, where I thought all along they're going to be on the fringe of wild card contention with the third wild card. They'll play interesting games in September, but not really positioned yet to win anything of any value. Trade deadline will be interesting. They can't really sell because it ticked guys off last year when they did. Maybe one move, maybe they can move Adam Duvall if they think Durant can play every day, things like that, and start playing him against lefties. But for the most part, it's just going to be up and down. I think you just need to enjoy these highs and the good things that have happened, which is Bayo's development, Yoshida being fun, and Durant's real emergence this season. Enjoy those things, because it's still a mediocre team, but some things are trending the right way.
Yeah, and I will say there are times when it's ugly, when you see some little league plays, but they do seem to be playing harder than last year's team did. And when they're playing as well as they are lately, they're a lot of fun. First of all, they run the bases as good as a Red Sox team has been in forever. I don't remember seeing a team not just steal, but take the extra base at the success rate they do. I thought Wendell Kim was over at third, for goodness sakes.
No, Carlos Feliz got the wing flapping over there.
Yeah.
But, Duran's a big part of that. I've never seen a guy who, if he hits the ball into the gap, you'd think in double, no matter what, even if the center fielder has to take two steps to his right. You're thinking he's got a shot at that. It's pretty electrifying. And I'd written him off. I didn't think he was going to make it. It was just he'd come up, he'd have some new fancy new adjustment, pitchers would figure it out, and he'd be terrible. And he had a bad attitude last year, and he was a butcher in the outfield. And to his credit, he's really worked hard to fix all those things. He's a much different guy this year. He's more confident. I think he realized he was being kind of a jerk at times to everybody last season when he goes get stressed out about his own situation, and put in the effort to not only improve as a hitter, where you can see he's just got the physical skills, but also learn how to play center field. So all the credit to him, because you don't usually see guys develop at age 26. I know people are thinking he's 23 years old. He's not. He's older. And it's really interesting to see him becoming just the guy that you want to tune in and watch now.
Are the Celtics a better team without Grant Williams?
I think they're a better team overall, but I don't like it. You know what I mean? I mean, Porzingis is a really good player, but he's had issues with guys in his career. They've gotten away from what they were 2 years ago, which they went to the finals largely, not only because of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown talent on the roster, but they were a defensive force, and they're backing away from that. I know Marcus slipped a little bit last year, but Grant Williams is a guy who can defend a lot of different positions well. Frustrating player. You wish you'd never speak to the officials at times, but really helped them. And he got lost kind of with the coach who was in over his head. I think moving Marcus Smart was partially because Missoula had a hard time telling him you're coming out of the game right now. That situations where Derek White should have been in, and Smart was out there instead. And I feel like they're really building this roster around the coach, and I don't think that's the right thing to do, because I've seen nothing that makes me think he's the right guy. I wish MCI Sam Cassell was the head coach of this team.
Well, he may be before too long, but I'm with you on that too, because the old saying, you know, defense never has a bad night, because it's all hustle,
right?
But when you're out there living, and as they often did, dying by the three, you don't. Very few teams advance deep into the playoffs purely on offense.
No, and Porzingis gives them something else for sure. I mean, getting the ball 12 feet away, he's just a killer shooter from mid-range. But does Joe want to do that? Is he going to change? Is Brad telling him this needs to change? And you know, on the defensive end, it's not just that they Smart had a bad defensive season in the regular season, but it was better in the playoffs. He looked more like himself in the playoffs. But he wouldn't play Grant Williams, who could guard Embiid and could have helped in that series. And so it was not too late, but he put him in and things got straightened out a little bit. Jaylen Brown stopped playing defense. He gets burnt back door more than anybody I've ever seen. He needs a coach like Ime to give him a kick there. You know, Tatum does put the effort in. Horford slipped. You don't know if Rob's going to be out there. And if you have a coach who's not emphasizing that, it makes me wonder if they're just going to kind of be a middle-of-the-pack, semi-interested defensive team.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Chad, great talking with you as always. Thanks much. Enjoy every minute of that home run derby tonight.
Yeah, I will. And buy those newspapers, for God's sake, people.
Doing the best I can. Some days, like when you have something in there in print, I buy two just to help out.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's the two that they marked down as sold in Bangor.
Yep, there you go. That was me. Thanks, Chad.
Cheers.